Mike Murdock's Fuckability Scale by Ink for Human Hands and read by Coprime. Rating, teen and up. Archive warning, no archive warnings apply. Fandom, Daredevil Comics. Relationship, Matt Murdock and Mike Murdock, as well as Matt Murdock / Foggy Nelson. Additional tags, point of view Matt Murdock, banter, bad matchmaking, siblings, getting together, humor, and real boy Mike. Summary. Matt made a last bid to get Mike to stop. Is there any way I can convince you to not? Nope, said Mike, with the precise lack of remorse Matt had come to expect from his brother. It is time, he announced gleefully, to present the world with Mike Murdock's Fuckability Scale, Matt's ex's edition. The what? Foggy choked. Or, Mike shows up at Nelson and Murdock late one night, presumably with plans to embarrass his brother in front of Foggy. Or maybe his motivations aren't what they seem to be. Even if all of the other information Matt gathered from his senses ceased to exist, the overbearing scent of patchouli oil and the heartbeat with its rhythm uncomfortably close to his own being among the most obvious, Matt would have pegged Mike coming up the stairs to his and Foggy's office by the distinctive whoosh of air puffing through the holes of his Crocs alone. Well, that and the aura of mischief, rank and shameless, that preceded him. Matt didn't have a spidey sense and didn't need one to detect it. It was that palpable. Foggy didn't seem to need one either. He took one look at Matt's face, which was scrunched in distaste, and said, "Oh shit, is he here?" Matt's features doubled down on their expression in response, and Foggy set the brief he'd been going over with Matt onto his desk. "I'll take that as a yes," he said. A second later, the bell attached to the inside of their office door chimed, and the two men braced themselves for the appearance of Matt's twin brother. Matt gripped the arms of his chair, absorbing the vibrations sent through it by Mike's every footfall as he rounded the corner and stepped through the open door to Foggy's section of the office, where they sat. "Well, if you two chaps are here this late on a Friday night, it's no wonder you're both single, isn't it?" "Mike," greeted Foggy, far too amiably as far as Matt was concerned. The pangs of a headache were already gathering behind his eyes at the mere thought of this conversation continuing, and it had barely started. "Mike, what do you want?" he asked pointedly. "Is that how you greet family?" Mike said as he recoiled, falling back against the molding of the doorway in a dramatic rendition of emotional wounding. The movement set off a series of tinkling, jingling sounds concentrated around his wrist and neck. "Jesus," Matt said, turning up his nose, "how much jewelry are you wearing?" Mike shimmied back upright off the wall, Matt suspected, specifically to trigger, once again, his absurdest collection of necklaces and bracelets. "I might not have your nose, Matthew, but I can definitely smell jealousy. And you, dearest brother, are clearly envious of my sexy attire." Foggy snorted at this, although he suppressed it with a neat transition into a cough. "You know I can't see your outfit," Matt said, rubbing his temple. Mike's lips stretched noisily as they lifted off of his teeth into what was surely an appalling smile. "No worries. Foggy will narrate it for you." Matt clocked only one of Mike's eyelids shuddering over his eyes, an unseemly wink at Foggy, no doubt. "Won't you, Foggy baby?" Foggy pressed his fingers onto the wooden surface of his desk as he leaned forward in surprise. I guess," he faltered. Matt rolled his eyes, but didn't fight it, already too weary. "Well, I think you already figured out he's got a bunch of necklaces and bracelets on. Mostly chains, gold and silver. He's wearing a vest over, well, nothing. I don't know if you ever got one of those holograph Pokemon cards when you were a kid, but it looks like that. And then we've got hot pink corduroys paired with some sinfully orange Crocs, Foggy finished. Matt tried his hand at sarcasm. You were right, I am very jealous. Never been more jealous in my life, in fact. Now, why are you here? He asked again. Mike moved away from the doorway finally, and settled himself into the other chair parked in front of Foggy's desk and next to Matt's. In response, Matt leaned into the right side of his. The extra space it put between him and Mike was negligible in real terms, but psychologically, it made all the difference. It's Friday night, Mike said. Figured I would come bond with my baby bro and his spouse. Mike, for the last time, Matt protested, his ears painfully tuned to the distressed thudding of Foggy's heart. He knew Foggy didn't appreciate jokes about their friendship. And who could blame him? Matt had never enjoyed being misinterpreted either. Yeah, Mike waved him off. Anyway, I figured we could gossip or whatever it is the kids do at sleepovers these days. The keratin of his nails scraped together as he cleaned them. Ooh, he crooned. I've got it. You're really going to enjoy this, Maddie. Matt made a last bid to get Mike to stop. Is there any way I can convince you to not? Nope, said Mike, with the precise lack of remorse Matt had come to expect from his brother. It is time, he gleefully announced, to present the world with Mike Murdoch's fuckability scale, Matt's X's edition. The what? Foggy choked. Matt put his head in his hands and breathed in slowly. He suppressed the urge to strangle his twin, but only barely. Exactly what it says on the tin. It's the definitive ranking of all of Matt's exes based on fuckability. It has three main criteria. First and most obvious, how likely are they to deck me in the face for hitting on them? Foggy muttered under his breath, is that the most obvious? Mike continued undeterred. Number two. Are they freaky? Matt and Foggy both groaned. And lastly, are they hot? Mike leaned back in his armchair, holding his hands behind his head and propping up an ankle on his knee. This is tasteless, Matt objected. As any good scale needs a bottom value, I propose Fisk for least fuckable, Mike said. What the fuck, Mike? Funny. I would have thought you'd agree with me on that one. Are you saying he should be higher? Well, too bad, because it's my scale, not yours. There was a wet flick accompanied by an uptick in the water vapor generally proliferating around Mike's mouth. Mike had stuck his tongue out. I'm saying, Matt said through gritted teeth, that Fisk isn't even one of my exes, asshole. I don't know, Mike sang. Seems like you two had quite the relationship. He knew your name and kept his men from going after you. What is that, if not love? While Matt was busy being speechless, Foggy asked, Wait, okay. Where does he fall on the criteria, then? Of course Foggy would be aiding and abetting this buffoonery. Teasing Matt, particularly about what his alter ego got up to, was one of his favorite pastimes. And Mike wasn't one to let the rare occasion of being granted a sanctioned platform go to waste. Hot? Certainly not my type. Freaky? Probably. But while I'd love to have my head crushed by his thighs, I'm afraid he'd take it a bit too far. I can seek my thrills elsewhere. Understandable, Foggy said, the pads of his fingers tapping softly together as he steepled his hands. Perhaps Matt was operating under a different definition of understandable, but he didn't think anything that had been said in the past 2 minutes fit it. If this was only the start of Mike's fuckability scale, it might be smarter to remain quiet and let him get it out of his system uninterrupted. Next up, we have Ben Urich, Mike said. Again, not an X. So much for not interrupting, but there had to be some limits placed on Mike's imbecility, right? Matt forced a smile, hoping it would help him reach his happy place, somewhere far from here. He kept your secret for you. If that's not romance, I don't know what is. Mike shook his head wistfully. Anyway, Benny Boy's certainly a looker, but a bit too morally upstanding for my taste. Probably vanilla. Overall, low fuckability. I see, Foggy said. So who's next? Karen. She falls squarely under yes, absolutely. She'd be DTF. She's a hottie. Only problem is, I can't put our regularly scheduled shenanigans at risk, so it can't get too weird under the sheets. I still need her to respect me in the morning, you dig? Uh-huh, Matt said. Next up, we've got Frank Castle, said Mike, still going full steam ahead. Matt decided not to point out that, once again, Mike had named someone who decidedly wasn't and wouldn't ever be an ex of his. He also forewent mentioning that the candidate pool for Mike's fuckability scale was leaning remarkably towards men, which was fine so long as Foggy didn't seem fazed by it. Definitely a freak, Mike continued. Count me in as scared and horny. Actually, Electra ticks the same boxes now that I'm thinking about it. Maybe she edges Frank out because she likes to show a little skin. And I do like skin, he said thoughtfully, which was a feat, and as much as Matt was pretty sure Mike had nothing in the way of thoughts. Right, said Foggy, and at least now he was keeping his responses to Mike minimal. Hopefully Mike would tire himself out soon and decide to go bother someone else. Almost like God had answered his prayer, Mike said, now for the top two. I know. He waved one of his hands a few times. But Mike, he said, in a whiny and entirely inaccurate imitation of Matt, that's not even all my exes. Listen, if I went through all of them, we'd be here all night, you little slut. Matt found himself wishing his hearing could be dulled just enough so that he could no longer discern Mike's winks from his blinks. Please. Go on, he said, as pleasantly as he could. I just have one word for Natasha, Mike announced. Awooga! His bellow filled Foggy's office, handily making it past the hands Matt had clapped over his ears the second he'd heard how big of a breath Mike was taking in preparation to yell. When the noise subsided, Foggy, who had stood up and reached a hand across his desk, as if that would ever be enough to shut Mike up, said, really, was that necessary? This is a place of business. Oh, I'm sorry, sweet cheeks, Mike said, oozing with fake remorse, only to drop it with his next sentence. You do agree, though, about Natasha? I know you have a thing for redheads, he said suggestively. The implication that Foggy might somehow be attracted to Mike, carried not least by another prolonged brush of Mike's eyelashes and the wet pop of suction that together with it indicated another lascivious wink, set Matt to seething. How dare Mike be so presumptuous? He didn't know Foggy, not really. None of those experiences he'd thought he'd had with him had ever taken place, for starters. And as far as attraction went, if Foggy wasn't attracted to Matt, who looked exactly like him, then Mike didn't stand a chance. But when Matt focused, really focused, past the anger threatening to rise like steam off his skin, he heard a different story told through the slam poetry of Foggy's heart. It zipped along, rattling through verses so fast its audience might not latch onto the words. Foggy was hiding something. I've always been fond of Natasha, he stuttered, a half-truth. Moving on, said Mike with a loud clap of his hands, because I've been impatient to get to the last and best on the scale. The creme de la creme, the cherry on top of the sundae, the pickle on the sandwich. Just get to it already, Matt snapped. Not that he'd really been tolerant of Mike's antics to begin with, but by this point Matt's patience was thinner than a pair of stockings with a run up the leg. Gentlemen, the person at the very tippity top of Mike Murdock's fuckability scale is none other than... Mike paused to perform a drum roll on his thighs before finishing with, Foggy Nelson, the man himself. Mike, Matt warned him, even as Foggy released a startled laugh. Please, allow me to tell you why this delicious snack wins, though. I'll stick to the basics. Wouldn't want you going all anime nosebleed, Matthew, he said, a hand shielding the movement of his lips from Foggy as he made his aside. First, not that you would know, but his lips? Luscious. His locks? Also luscious. He's got such cute little bangs. And his fashion sense? Impeccable. The bow ties are so charming. Aw, thanks, said Foggy. Now, as for friskiness, Mike barreled on while Matt cracked his knuckles, I would expect nothing less from a man who gets his thrills from being in Daredevil's crossfire. All right, I guess I deserve that assessment, Foggy said. But that's where he was wrong, Matt fumed. Foggy didn't deserve any of this. He didn't deserve the danger he constantly found himself in, and he didn't deserve to be made the butt of Mike's jokes. And for the final criteria, would he ever say yes? Well, I think that depends entirely on my brother. One can only lust after the real thing for so long before settling for the knockoff brand. Mike laced his fingers and leaned back in his chair to enjoy the consequences of his words playing out. Before Matt could wrap his head around whatever Mike was insinuating, though, he registered the particular tang of Foggy's nervous sweat as it hit the air and sent him into protective mode. He sprang to his feet and hauled Mike upwards, out of his chair by the shoulders of his holographic vest, barely registering Foggy saying weakly, I don't know what you're talking about. Was this all just an elaborate ruse so you could come in here and proposition Foggy? Matt all but yelled. Minute flecks of spittle flew from his lips, and Mike flinched away from him. Aw, I'm flattered you think it was elaborate, he said, seemingly unperturbed by his positioning so close to Matt's fists, if not his mouth. I do think you've, misread the situation, though. Matt's nostrils flared. You know what? I don't care about your motives. He dragged Mike out of Foggy's office and toward the main door, Foggy following awkwardly behind. All you've done tonight is act inappropriately, try to get on my nerves, and make Foggy uncomfortable. Nobody invited you here. The same way no one invited you to make yourself real, so get out. He opened the door and pushed Mike through it, shutting it in his face over his protests. Matt turned around and leaned back against the door. The tension in his shoulders subsided gradually as he tracked Mike's movement out of the building and onto the street. Down below the office, Mike clicked his tongue. I hope you can hear this, you thick bastard, he muttered. I was trying to get you guys on the same page about how much you're both yearning for each other. You fucking numbskull. And with those parting words, he stalked off into the night. Matt frowned as Foggy stood by, watching him and fiddling with his rolled up shirt sleeves. Yearning? Foggy? Foggy yearning for him? Doubtful. Foggy's nervousness could be attributed to Mike coming on to him. Mike alluding to feelings he didn't have, and worst of all, Matt's obvious display of jealousy. The cat was out of the bag, clearly. He just had to wait for Foggy to imply he didn't feel the same, and then they could go back to normal. Matt, I'm sorry, Foggy said, shaking his head. Here it was. I should have known Mike would use it against me eventually. Matt sucked in a breath. You mean you knew? I mean, yeah. You let it slip to a guy like Mike, and that's pretty much it. You're done. Foggy folded his arms. I didn't let it slip to him, exactly. Not sure how he knew, Matt said. What? Foggy asked sharply. What did he know? Matt blinked. Are we not talking about the same thing? What are you talking about? Foggy slapped a palm against his face and dragged it slowly down his cheek. I think I need a drink for this, he said. All right, I'll go first, Matt offered. If he hadn't given it away already with his earlier outburst, he deserved to be found out. Mike was just trying to provoke me with all that. Somehow he discovered my feelings for you, and apparently he thinks you feel the same, which I know is ridiculous, Matt qualified. Foggy swallowed, the muscles of his esophagus pushing his saliva down his throat with a wet squelch. Why is that so ridiculous? He said, his voice small. There had been many outrageous things said that night, mostly by Mike, but of all of them, Matt had the most trouble believing this one. This timid pushback against Matt's assumptions, as if Foggy were afraid what Matt's response would be, even after Matt had admitted he too had feelings for his partner. Where was the confidence he usually displayed? Matt needed to know if it was true. Do you feel the same? Matt asked. He held his breath. Foggy unfolded his arms and approached Matt where he still leaned against the door. He placed his hands on Matt's shoulders. Do I wake up every day still excited to be in business with you? Do I treasure our friendship even when it means long nights waiting up for a phone call or outright lying to the media? Do I lust after you, as your brother so eloquently put it? Foggy lifted a hand from Matt's shoulder up to his jaw. The answer, I think you'll find, is yes. He stood on his tiptoes and pressed his lips softly to Matt's. For all of the indecent ideas Mike had thrown around, it was a chaste kiss. And, Matt thought, in that respect, it was perfect. Foggy drew back onto his heels at the end of it, and Matt tilted Foggy's face up toward him before going in for another. He could get used to this. Maybe he'd have to thank his insufferable twin after all. The end. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this work, please consider leaving a comment on the original work for the author.